Todd Gruenwaller is totally back. Didn't know he'd ever left, right? This was the first thought that zapped across his frontal lobe, even before he'd opened his eyes. He could tell from the hot light against his face it was probably mid-morning, so he carefully raised his left lid, then the right. He had forgotten to completely shut the blinds the night before, and one shaft of sun in particular pierced both pupils like a laser beam. It was too much, and he didn't open either eye again for another 15 minutes. Of course, even though he was now the new Todd Gruenwaller, Todd Gruenwaller 2.0, he still remembered the old Todd Gruenwaller well, and how that version had also been perfectly cool in his way. But in this half-lit place between sleep and wakefulness, where he did his most honest thinking, he had come to realize that the V-neck sweater with T-shirt poking out from underneath look was so out of style that it had become retro stylish again for a while, which was when Todd had picked up on it, which then naturally made it uncool for the rest of whatever's still left of eternity. Yes, Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 knew this, even though he could never admit it when he was up and functioning in the conscious campus world, which was why he spent so much time putting off getting out of bed. He had a class at 11:30 if this was Tuesday. He was pretty sure it was. His mouth tasted like putty, and his pit stunk like two forgotten swamps. He groaned his way up out of the covers and managed to make it into the bathroom without opening his eyes at all. He tried to remember the night before as he stood under the shower head, but the only thing that came through his fog was the slosh of beer and how sticky the floor was in the Ram's Den, the student pub where he had spent probably 3 hours in a corner booth trying to impress Suki, an economics major who found him dull, even compared to macro-monetarism, by reading her drafts of his poem for the class today, Why I Let Your Piano Fall on My Head. Todd Gruenwaller knew it sucked. He knew he sucked. But that was the old Todd Gruenwaller. Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 was today a different prowler altogether. Kick back. A laid-low danger man with careful stubble and a smooth glide. Someone who gets it big time. Of that much he was certain. Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 was into the suit coat and dress shirt without tie look now, even as his male classmates stumbled to their seats in sweatpants and flip-flops. Armed with his sucky poem, he knew what he knew and gazed up at Professor Wostrom, total confidence, doused in Axe body wash and glazed with hair gel. Professor Wostrom glanced back in vague but inscrutable disgust, a look he had perfected over decades of Todd Gruenwaller's. Todd smirked as he passed out copies of his poem to the class, then walked to the front of the room to read it. He knew Professor Wostrom preferred his students read their work while seated at their desks. But hey, this was Todd Gruenwaller 2.0, not some schlub from a basement cell in one of the downscale dorms wearing a sweatshirt with mayo stains. We are talking Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 here, capiche? He tried to mold his voice around the words. Why I let your piano fall on my head? Because you went to lunch with Ted instead, and didn't care if I went to bed with your best friend or even your mom, and it was like we were actors in a bad sitcom, and I was walking beneath your 10th floor suite, and you pushed your piano out the window as I passed by on the street, and I was so in love with you that when you let it fly, I let it drop upon my head and became like dead. He looked out across the class as if expecting applause. Or not. Professor Wostrom was still wearing his mask of vague inscrutability, though Todd thought he detected a glint of feral hatred somewhere deep behind his glasses. Well, so what? Wostrom was a boring old fuck. Everybody knew that. And Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 also knew that he was totally back. He strutted down the aisle to his seat, leaving a wake of axe that was nearly visible. Later, in the ram's den, he killed another cold-frosted and surveyed his kingdom. Dean, a guy from Professor Wostrom's poetry class, who Todd now regarded as unworthy in his 2.0 upgrade, sidled over. "You nailed it with that poem, dude," he intoned. "You could tell Wostrom didn't catch your metaphor at all." Todd Gruenwaller nodded gravely, wishing he'd worn shades. It was all well and good to receive the praise of an inferior minion such as Dean. But where were the women from the class? He was certain word was big on Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 because he was putting out the vibe, and it was very cosmic and very holy and strong. Todd Gruenwaller understands what women want. They want some of that Todd Gruenwaller. He noticed Suki walk in, and Dean ceased to exist. Fortunately, Suki had seen Todd first and managed to find cover in three girlfriends hunched over a pitcher of beer in a booth. Todd considered wedging his way in, but knew deep down that they would most likely ignore him. But hold on, amigo. That was the old Todd Gruenwaller. Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 is a hunk of smoldering testosterone soaked in body heat. He understands how women spend their evenings huddled with each other over pitchers of watery beer, or, even worse, watching TV on the couch, cuddling with those two middle-aged guys from Vermont, Ben and Jerry, when they could be feasting on Todd Gruenwaller. He glided across the dimly lit room and slid into the booth next to Suki, who rolled her eyes at her friends. "Did it hurt much?" he asked her. She looked over, stone-faced. "When you first fell down from heaven, I mean." She burst out laughing, and a spray of beer foam caught Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 on the chin. His careful stubble glistened. "So what's it feel like to get smashed in the head by a 1,000-pound piano?" asked Joss, who had black nails and was Professor Wostrom's favorite, and published poems about the end of the world in Ramshackle, the college lit journal. All four girls laughed hard. It was too much, even for Todd Gruenwaller 2.0. He gave them his best cool dude brave face, the one with the arched brows and slightly ironic smirk, then slipped away, followed by his wake of axe. The next day in class, Professor Wostrom sat behind his desk and stared Todd down as he walked in, late, then carefully parsed "Why I Let Your Piano Fall on My Head" for the class. He was concerned, he said, with the current penchant for the colloquialism "like," as in Mr. Gruenwaller's use of "I became like dead" in the last line of his poem. And I use the word poem loosely, he noted somewhat under his breath. The word "like" is a simile, which denotes that something is similar to an actual object, although not the object itself, he continued. Is Mr. Gruenwaller suggesting to the reader that he has become similar to the condition of non-existence, while still somehow continuing to exist after being struck in the head by a 1,000-pound piano that has just fallen 10 stories? Hyperbole can be a useful writerly tool, but when combined with alcohol, it becomes a waste of readerly time. Todd Gruenwaller shrunk inside himself, as if Todd Gruenwaller 2.0 had somehow evaporated. Only the scent of axe hung in the air around him like sour musk. He glanced over at Joss, who looked back at him with what he hoped was empathy, but was actually, he realized from the tilt of her partly shaven head, complete disdain. She drummed black nails on the desk and looked quickly away. He suffered in silence through the rest of class. then darted like a gecko out the door, desperate to reclaim himself. Before he knew it, he was headed across the quad towards the ram's den. It was only 1 p.m., but he needed dim lights and a sticky floor and the smell of yesterday's rowdy fun to remind him he was still Todd Gruenwaller 2.0, goddammit, a laid-low danger man giving off heat, who knows how to wear cologne in a crowded elevator, how to pump it on the dance floor, who just happens to be totally back. It was even darker inside than he had imagined. Once his eyes adjusted, he saw that it was almost empty, it being early afternoon midweek on a busy class day. There was only Doris, a mail sorter from the campus post office. She had taken a late lunch break and was finishing up a reheated hot dog at the bar while looking over a copy of the New York Post she had stolen from a pile in the back of the mailroom. Todd Gruenwaller could see it had a picture of Donald Trump on the front page. He fixed his face and slid onto the next stool. He smiled at her, asked, "Is it hot in here, or is it you?" Doris looked at him and burped. She was divorced and slightly overweight and had a small smear of mustard on her cheek. She smiled back.